And we are live. Welcome to the MCS Real Sports Podcast. I am your host, Matt Skura. To my far right, we got my co-host, Mr. Caleb Connett. And we have a very special guest in the middle, coming straight out of Tallahassee, Florida, Mr. Caleb Skinner. How are you doing, Caleb?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for, you know, bringing me on, having me on. I know we were trying to get this going yesterday, but, you know, you got to keep the wife happy and everything like that. So I wasn't able to, but I'm glad I can join you guys on this beautiful morning. We got great college football coming up, and I know we've got some great topics to talk about, especially after, you know, game five of the NBA finals last night and then all the other news that's going around in sports.
Yeah, definitely going to be an exciting episode to get to. And for those of you guys that are joining us via Sportscaster, as you can tell by our usernames, I am at Matt Skura USN. Our special guest is at Skinner USN, and my co-host is at Caleb Connett USN. All three of us are a part of the Unwrapped Sports Network, so make sure you give us a follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even on Sportscaster. And our very own special guest has his very own show called Unwrap These Bands. So whenever that goes live on Facebook or Twitter, check him out on there. And let's simply get these topics started. Let's first go over the NBA Finals. As we all know, all three of us in here, all three of us support the Los Angeles Lakers. Caleb and I are Laker fans. Caleb, I'm pretty sure you're one as well, or like LeBron James. Let's kind of go over what went down last night. So for those of you who did not watch the game last night, it was game five of the NBA Finals. The Los Angeles Lakers rocked the Mamba jerseys. I'm pretty sure all the fans thought it was going to be over, especially because the Los Angeles Lakers were 4-0 in those Mamba jerseys. But now they are 4-1. The series is now 3-2. Lakers lead. I'll go with my co-host Caleb first. What were your thoughts on last night's game five NBA Finals?
I mean, it's horrible that we fucking lose in the Kobe jerseys. That's bad enough. But I think we played a fair game. Like, if we honestly look at game four, Miami had our number. They had us beat within 10 throughout the whole game, and it was just hard for us to get a hold on them. You look at this game, it was a lot closer. We often had the lead in the fourth quarter, so that was a good thing. And I honestly think Keith just fucked us at the end, bro. LeBron was taking it, and he was, you know, being assertive, being aggressive. This game, he had, like, what, 40 points? So, I mean, LeBron being aggressive and assertive and creating for others, that wasn't a problem. I think he made the right play with passing it to Danny. He could have, you know, went into two people and threw some shit up, and that would have been okay because he's LeBron. But I think he made the right play by giving it to his teammate. And if Danny, you know, LA fans here in LA, we've been getting on Danny's ass all season to make the three. And if it was one three that he could have made, that could have made us happy, that it was the one last night, and he didn't make it. But I wasn't even mad at that. It was really Keith. Like, I just didn't know what the fuck he was thinking. I didn't know what he was thinking. But not to just throw it all on him, though. You know, I think the turnovers really got bit us in the ass in the fourth quarter. We had, like, four in a row early fourth quarter. And that last one to seal the deal, really seal the envelope. So I want to say it was on turnovers and really Marquise Lawrence.
Yeah, definitely made a lot of good points there, Caleb. Let's also give my special guest, Mr. Caleb Skinner. What were also your thoughts on game five last night?
Yeah, I'll reiterate a little bit of what Caleb's already said. Turnovers are absolutely a problem, not only in this game, but overall in this series. It's been an issue from, I don't remember what game it was specifically, but they had LeBron and
AD. I think it was game three.
Had over four turnovers in that game. It was just ugly. Not only that, but to start the fourth quarter off the way we did and allow them to get back in the game and eventually, you know, go, you see what happens when Keith just throws it out of bounds at the end. To me, I don't put it as much on Keith as I do Danny Green. Like Caleb was saying, we've been riding his ass all year, not only the year, but especially the playoffs to, you know, show up. Like, at least just show up and make the shots that you're supposed to make. And yeah, LeBron can keep that and you know, shoot it and everybody wants LeBron to do, and that's be, you know, the guy who takes the shot and be Jordan. But let's be honest, that's not LeBron. When he sees a guy wide open, especially a guy who's like almost a 40% career 3-point shooter in the finals, you give it to him wide open at the top of the key. Everybody else is on the baseline. It's a shot you take in practice, and Danny Green probably 9 out of 10 times makes that shot. So like, that's a real disappointment to me. I put it more on Danny Green than on Keith. I think Keith just kind of didn't realize the situation, didn't realize how much time he had left on the clock, and then just kind of panicked and tried to throw it up there. But overall, I mean, once AD got injured, I like that 8-minute span afterwards, he just didn't look the same. He was just very, you know, slow, limping. He was limping at the end of it. But I got to give my props also to Jimmy Butler, man. Dude doesn't quit. He loves, you know, the spotlight. He wants the ball always in his hands. Always seems to make the right play too. So major props to him. I don't know if he's going to be able to replicate that come Game 6 because, I mean, we've seen him go off already for a triple-double earlier in the series. And the next game afterwards, he didn't necessarily have that same production. So, I mean, dude played 47 out of 48 minutes, which is fucking ridiculous. Like, that's insane amount of playing time for a guy. He missed but 1 minute out of the whole game. So I don't know if you guys saw on any clips afterwards of him doing like his post-game interview on the stage. Dude looked like he could barely walk when he got up and tried to leave. Like, he was just like so sore. It looked like he had cramps all over his body and he could barely move. So we'll see if they can replicate that. I just think on defense, you just got to stick to the shooters, Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero. You can't let them, you know, Duncan Robinson just had a game, just went off. And like, when Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero are outplaying Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma, I think that's a huge issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely got that right. It is definitely a huge issue, especially with Danny Green being a veteran in this league, being outplayed by a rookie and Duncan Robinson, who's 26 years old. And same thing with Kuzma. Kuzma has honestly been disappointing in this playoff series, especially when you look at guys like Brandon Ingram, who's excelled in New Orleans, and Lonzo Ball has his bright moments in New Orleans. It's kind of like we could have just sent Kuzma off and been fine keeping Lonzo or Ingram and being perfectly utilized. But I'll give my take on Game 5. I thought it was a great game by LeBron James. I mean, you drop 40 points. It's not like he didn't have a bad game. He had a fantastic game. He literally laid it all out on the line. Same thing with Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis played through injury. It's once again, it's our role players not stepping up, not hitting the big shot. We look at LeBron. He drives it down, attracts 4 guys, and Danny Green is wide open. Now, granted, if everybody is saying if you want LeBron to be in the GOAT, you have to make the shot. But when you attract 4 players just because of how dominant you are, and you have other guys wide open, those wide open guys have to hit their shot. And it's not like Danny Green was heavily contested. He was wide open and not a single player within 6 feet of heading. I mean, they were pulling social distancing to another level. And he shortchanged it. Like, it's one thing if you hit the shot and then you overshoot it. That's just simply, okay, you put too much power. But how do you shortchange a shot when nobody is within 6 feet of you? Like, that was not a good shot by Danny Green, shortchanging it wise. And then on top of that, you get the rebound and have a second chance. And good old Markieff Morris, sometimes I like to call him Chief Keith. He threw it out of bounds. Like what Caleb said. I remember Caleb saying this: we do not want another J.R. Smith moment. And Mr. Keith Morris just pulled the J.R. Smith in the NBA Finals in a crucial moment. Like, I mean, it's one thing if you throw it and it goes off somebody's hands and it goes out of bounds. So be it. You know, that's a great defensive play. But he literally just was like, here, Miami, you want Game 5? Pew. Take it. I'll just chuck it out of bounds when we have 0 timeouts. I'll do just that. And, you know, it's one of those where, like, I wouldn't have been mad if Markieff Morris passed it to LeBron and LeBron simply just missed the shot. That's just like, you know what? So be it. Like, Miami earned that one. But it's just simply like we left it out on the table. And especially like what Caleb said, in the Mamba jerseys. Like, when I saw the Lakers were going to rep Game 5, I'm just like, that's the story. Win Game 5, win the championship in the Mamba jerseys. LeBron saying, Kobe, this one's for you. Like, That's the storybook ending. And, you know, obviously, you know, I think for the Lakers, there isn't any panic. You know, you're still up in the series. It's not like it was tied at 2 and you're down 3-2. You were up 3-1 and you're still up 3-2. Now it's just simply you better win this game on Sunday. You better take care of business this Sunday, because if there is a game 7, even if LeBron wins this game 7, they might look at LeBron differently, because it's like you have two of the top 5 best players in the NBA, and you let Jimmy Butler push you to 7 games. And it's all credit to Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler has been one hell of a player, and I think he single-handedly got rid of the notion of he's a bad teammate. I don't think Jimmy Butler was ever a bad teammate. He just simply wanted to win, and his other teams didn't. As you could tell by his final stint in Chicago, when he was in Minnesota, when he was in Minnesota, before he tore his ACL, the Timberwolves were the 3rd seed in the Western Conference. I think a lot of people forget that, like, at that time frame they were. And obviously we knew what happened when Jimmy was in Philadelphia. The old Kawhi Leonard shot, clank, clank, 4 times, and they lose that game. And, you know, overall, I think this has turned into a much excited NBA Finals. I think when people saw that Dragic and Bam went down, everybody thought it was going to be a Lakers sweep. But for it to be game 6, I think it's definitely huge for the NBA. And, I mean, it's definitely huge for Miami, because now you look at Miami is going to go into this offseason. Doesn't matter if they win or not. They're going to go into the next offseason and be like, you know what? We can actually compete for a championship. Like, yeah. I'm going to be honest, when I think we can all agree, when they traded for Jimmy Butler, I thought they were going to be a lower seed in the East, like a 6th, 7th, or 8th, and be a first-round exit. But they have definitely surpassed my expectations, and they're going to be a team to watch out for in a couple years. And especially with them having cap space in the 2021 free agency class, if the Miami Heat can make a move towards Giannis and somehow manage to keep Bam out of bio as well, that Heat team could be a legit team in a couple years. And let's also move on to other NBA-related topics. Let's talk about the head coaches that have been put on new teams. As we all know, Doc Rivers is now in Philadelphia, and this one happened beforehand, Billy Donovan in Chicago. So I'm going to touch on the Billy Donovan situation first, because that happened first. I'll kind of go to you, Mr. Caleb Skinner. Billy Donovan in Chicago. Did the Chicago Bulls get this hiring correct?
I 100% think they did. I know Billy D, the rumors are out there that he didn't want to coach a rebuilding team any longer, but it's been proven from what he's done with Oklahoma City that he can do that and, you know, do it very well. I mean, coming from Florida as a college coach, he knows how to deal with young guys. And that's exactly what he has in Chicago. All those guys are young. You got Kobe White. You got good pieces there with them too. You got Zach LaVine, who's a young baller. And I feel like he can, you know, if he starts taking that next step and can get the right guys around him and, you know, kind of progress guys like Kobe White and Denzel Valentine, I think he's still there too. So if he can get the most out of these guys and get them to buy into whatever culture he gets teams to buy into, it's going to be interesting. I also think Billy D might have a little bit more of a hand in, you know, the operations in terms of draft and trades and everything, more so than he did in OKC here with the Bulls. I think it's a great fit, honestly. I think not a lot of people talked about it. So I think that's a positive as well, because you don't necessarily want all the hype and everything coming in. And I think it's a great move by the Chicago Bulls and going and get Billy D. I think he's a great coach. He might not be, you know, a championship caliber coach, but because we have yet to see it, but he knows how to, you know, get these young guys to buy into whatever culture he wants there. And I think he's going to kind of set the record straight there in Chicago, get everybody right on the same mindset and the same path here. And we'll see Chicago start to make, you probably won't see a huge drive this first year, but I think here in the next couple, you know, 3-4 years, you're going to start seeing them be in consideration for, you know, one of those, you know, 5-8 seeds there in the East, if they still, you know, are doing that at this point. So if, unless they go to, you know, the 16 seed or 16, whatever mixture of teams, like bracket wise. So I think it's a great hire. So what do you think, Caleb?
Honestly, I do think it's a great hire. You made a lot of good points. Just to piggyback off of what you said about him rebuilding a team, you see, he kind of did a lot of that. He was the start of that in OKC. He was a solid coach in college. I'm excited to see how he coaches now, being that he's not gonna have a player that's as ball dominant as Russell Westbrook. So, I'm looking fortunate to see how he runs the team. But I think with the front office, that's what Chicago needs to keep tight in order for them to really be a winning organization. They got to go out in free agency and get some guys that they could lock up. There's no excuse. They're like a top three city if anybody in the NBA wants to play in. So I think they need to get their free agency game up. And I think they need to draft LaMelo. I really do. Take the fucking risk and do it. I really do.
Yeah, definitely would be a good risk there. I also think Billy Donovan is a good hire in Chicago. I feel like everywhere he has been, he has built something special. I mean, when he was a college coach in Florida, I think he led them to back-to-back national championships. You know, I believe it was 06, 07, and 07, 08. And then on top of that, he goes to Oklahoma City replacing Scott Brooks. And I think in one of his early years, he leads them to the Western Conference Finals, where they sadly blew that 3-1 lead to the Golden State Warriors. But, you know, he's a pretty good coach, you know. And even what he did last year, I think what he did last year in Oklahoma City earned him the job in Chicago. If he had a terrible year in OKC this season, he probably wouldn't be on Chicago. But because he was able to be great with all the young players and even veterans too, like he had some solid veterans on OKC. He had a solid veteran in Chris Paul. He got Gallo, Steven Adams, like with all the veteran pieces, and he pushed the Houston Rockets team to 7 games in the first round. He's going to have a bright future in Chicago. Now, do I think they compete for the playoffs right away? No. I still feel like they're maybe a year or two, but Billy Donovan, if anything, has taught us, he has taught us that he can suppress expectations. So if all goes well, they have plenty of good young pieces, like you mentioned, Caleb, Zach LaVine, Kobe White. They also got Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., and even a little bit of Daniel Gafford too. So it'll be interesting with how they approach their draft. And Caleb, you mentioned they should go after LaMelo Ball. If they go after LaMelo Ball, then possibly the city of Chicago could be a draw, just because like they would have the other Ball brother. And maybe in the fateful 2021 free agency class, if Chicago's competitive, and if, you know, maybe top free agents are going to go there. And that's always the thing with free agency. A lot of free agents, in my opinion, are going to look at a young team like Chicago and say, can this young team be competitive? Like, can I make a difference? Because obviously, like, a lot of players are going to look at the big markets. They're going to look at the LA. They're going to look at Miami. They're going to look at New York and be like, you know what? I care about the big market. But if they look at a team that has a bunch of young players and they simply think, hey, you know what? If I'm on this team, and I have these bunch of young guys that are on here, maybe I could use those young guys to bring in a player of my choosing. We could build something here. And that could definitely be something that could be brewing in Chicago. Now, it won't be something that'll happen right away, but maybe when it gets to 2021, 2022, we could very well see Chicago being back to the playoff team that they once were in the early 2010s. Let's also move on to the main head coach that everybody is talking about, Doc Rivers, signing a 5-year deal with the Philadelphia 76ers. And obviously, as you guys know, his track record with the Clippers, he was there for 7 years, blew 2-3-1 leads in the process, had many great teams, but failed to make it to the conference finals. I'll simply start out by saying it was a good hire by Philadelphia. I was glad they hired Doc Rivers. I kind of thought they were going to go Mike D'Antoni. And I'm just like, you better not go Mike D'Antoni, because there are so many better options, and they simply hit it on the money with this Doc Rivers hiring. And hopefully Doc Rivers gets into the head of Joel Embiid and simply say, no more taking three-pointers and mid-range. Get in the posts and do what you do best. And I personally think Doc Rivers could help the Philadelphia 76ers win a championship in the next couple of years. At least in the duration of his contract, he should at least win one championship. And I'll direct that to my co-host, Caleb. What do you think of Doc Rivers being hired in Philadelphia?
I think it was a good signing. To piggyback off what you said again, I did think they were going to go in the direction of D'Antoni. I thought they should go with Lou. At first, I was like, oh, Ty Lue would be solid and see what he could do. Now, the duration of his contract that they gave Doc, I didn't agree with it. 5 years is a bit too much. I think they need at least a 3-year tag on what they got going right now. If that doesn't work, you know, they should probably blow it up and get what they can for the pieces that they do have while they're most valuable. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he could do with them and seeing how they'll play, being that he's not the GM, so he will not be bringing in his son nor players of his choice. So, you know, we have Elton Brand, former player, as the GM. He knows what to bring Ben Simmons and Embiid, and we have a coach. So I definitely want to see how it pans out these next 2 to 3 years. But I don't agree with a 5-year contract because if it doesn't work, they got to blow it up. I don't think this team, like this duo specifically, has another 5 years under their belt.
Mm-hmm. And then I also want to hear what you have to say, Caleb. What do you think of Doc Rivers being the next head coach in Philadelphia the next 5 years?
At first, I was on the fence about it, but I agree with you guys that it is a better hiring than D'Antoni. That didn't make any sense at all. Like, if he were to go to Philadelphia, I honestly still believe that you got to pick one or the other of Simmons or Embiid. I wholly believe it. You can't. I mean, they were close a couple years ago when they got trounced by, you know, the three bounce off of the rim by Kawhi Leonard. So they were close. But I think that ultimately just, you know, deflated them as a group, as a tandem. They blew that up. They got all new pieces surrounding them. Those pieces didn't fit. So if you can figure out how to get those pieces back, which I think Doc Rivers has great insight in doing that. But like you said, Caleb, he's not the GM anymore. So like he might have a say, but he's not ultimately making, you know, the decisions that are associated with the team and everything like that. So like, who knows what's going to happen there? 5 years is a lot, especially if in the next 2 years you don't get it done. I think they blow it up, like Caleb was saying. I think they should just go ahead and do it now and get it over with, because I don't see it, you know, necessarily being successful. Right. I just feel like those two guys, when it comes to Simmons and Embiid, they had it, and then I think they just lost the muster for each other. And like they used to work well together, and then the whole issue with Simmons not being able to shoot threes is a huge issue for that team. So, yeah. But speaking on Doc Rivers, I like him, but we've seen that he has one championship, right? Just one, and that's mm-hmm. with the Celtics. So he might be a great coach, but he's been shown that he can't finish it off except for one time, and that's because you had four future Hall of Famers on one team. So I mean, you can knock him, you can, you know, praise him for the job he has done. He's a great coach, but he's not championship level, you know, coach material in my eyes. I think Ty Lue probably would have been, like you, Caleb, would have been probably the greatest, you know, for them. I know the whole history with Ty Lue and, you know, getting stepped over by AI might, you know, bring Philadelphia to, you know, its knees or whatever. But I just feel like he has that, you know, mentality that Philadelphia looks for. I mean, he's dealt with strong personalities in Kyrie and LeBron, so he can definitely deal with Embiid and Simmons. So I'm sure Doc can too, but I think Ty Lue should have been the guy.
Right.
Definitely.
I like a double Caleb episode. I fucks with this. Go ahead.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, definitely. Great points you guys made about Doc Rivers. And I kind of want to throw this question out before we move on to Bill O'Brien. Let's kind of close it out with the Doc Rivers talk Do you think he wins a championship in the next 5 years? Me personally, I think he wins at least one championship in the next 5 years. I kind of want to hear what you guys say. Do you guys believe he can win at least one championship in the next 5 years with Philadelphia?
I'm after you, bro.
I personally do not believe he will. I think he'll get close again because you're expected to, and Doc Rivers is a great coach, like I said. It's just I don't know if he can get that next hump without having, you know, four future Hall of Famers or, like, four All-Stars. I mean, the mistake they made in the beginning was bringing in Al Horford. Like, it didn't fit. It was never going to work. So, and then you paid him almost max money to come and not – do anything hardly. So that's really, you know, capping you as a team right now, because you can't go out and get other pieces because nobody wants Al Horford's contract for what he provides. So if he can find a way to, you know, utilize that in a more, you know, I don't know what to say, but better situation for Al Horford, or be able to, if they can move him for just like a couple draft picks and like a guy off the bench, sure. But you're not going to get the value that Al Horford used to be. And so ultimately that's handicapping them extremely in terms of getting the pieces that they need around Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. So I don't see it happening within 5 years, maybe longer than that, but I don't think they gave him more than 5 years if it's not going well.
And then what about you, Caleb? Do you think he wins a title in the next 5 years with Philadelphia?
No, sir. I do not think they get it done. But I do think they have a chance if Giannis moves, meaning who knows, if he goes to the West Coast and decides to play out here, that could really open the East for him. He might fuck around and go to Philly if they could, you know, move some contracts and figure a way to get him on the team. He might go there, but depending on where he goes, could open up the East for Philly. If he stays in the East, I don't think they're gonna get it done. I feel like Boston is a team to look out for the next couple of years. They look hungry. Tatum is about to acquire all the skills that he needed for them to advance this playoffs. Next year playoffs, I feel like he'll be a lot better. So I think right now I'm not sold on Philly. They can definitely turn around the bus and change it though. I don't doubt them with the coach that they have. I don't doubt them with the coach that they have. They could do it. They have the players and they have the coach. So they could turn around, but no, I don't believe they'll win it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was definitely good points there. And I also kind of want to throw this in. This is the first time I'm going to tell you guys this. One of my friends from California, his name is Chase, he threw out a very interesting question that could possibly happen, but it'll be interesting. Do you believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo can sign with the Los Angeles Lakers in 2021 free agency class? I just want to kind of hear what you guys have to say about this. I'll start out with our special guest, Caleb Skinner. Do you believe Giannis Antetokounmpo can sign with the Los Angeles Lakers?
Do I believe he can? Absolutely, I believe he can. They've got his brother right now. Or one of his brothers right now. Not only that, look at all the guys who are up for, you know, free agency this season. It's more than half the roster. They still have the room. They've got the money for a third guy. The whole thing with this is you're going to have to convince Giannis to play what I think should be his position in the NBA, in that center. I know you can handle the ball, but how lethal would that be if you have a center that can handle the ball, a power forward in AD that can handle the ball, a point forward in LeBron that can handle the ball, and then you just bring in shooters around him? That is the most lethal thing I can think of. 3-and-D guys all around, and you do that. It can happen, but do I think Giannis himself would go there and do that? No. I think Giannis wants to be, you know, the guy somewhere, and I don't think he'll ultimately stay in Milwaukee. I think he'll go somewhere else, but I don't know if Miami's the right place for him, but it would be interesting. Talk about, you know, dominance for years to come if he did go to LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would definitely be dominance for years to come. And the other, Caleb, do you think Giannis has a chance to sign with the Los Angeles Lakers in the 2021 free agency?
Going off what Caleb said, he made a great point about them having his little brother. That was something that I think Pelinka did on the low key that I thought, you know, a lot of people didn't see. But a lot of people obviously do see that. Yes, there is a possibility of him signing with the Lakers in 2021. I don't know how real that is. I think it depends on what LeBron does. And I think LeBron's going to want to retire a Laker, if not add on like two more years to the contract that he does have with us right now. And we're not dropping LeBron for Giannis. So he can gladly go somewhere else. And we'll happily keep LeBron. And yeah, that's how we're rocking.
Me personally, I think it's going to be very hard to get Giannis because you have to think we're paying AD the max after this season.
Right.
So, like, even if we pay Anthony Davis the max, it's a kind of how are you going to fit enough cap space? Because you know Giannis is going to demand the max. And Milwaukee has all the power in the world because I think in 2021, since it will be close to Giannis's, like, 10-year contract, then he could get the full supermax. Me personally, I've always stated that if Giannis doesn't win a title the next 2 years in Milwaukee, he'll leave. And this year is already out the tank. So this is pretty much the final year for Milwaukee. And you expect Milwaukee to probably go all in, you know, this season just so they could secure Giannis. And if Giannis says that he's not going to stay in Milwaukee after the season, then simply at the trade deadline, trade Giannis and see what kind of pieces you can get for him. But if the Lakers do somehow land Giannis and have Anthony Davis and tell LeBron, it's like, hey, LeBron, you've made hundreds of millions of dollars in your career. Why don't you just take the veteran minimum? We'll get Giannis. You got AD. And let's just run the league the next 3 years.
Well,
and
if you think about it, he ultimately doesn't have to even do vet minimum. You see what Dwayne Wade did when he wanted Bosh and LeBron to come. He was just like, this is not my team. Like, this is going to be LeBron's team. He's going to get the max deal. Pay Chris Bosh close to the max, and I'll take the least amount of money out of all three of us. LeBron could easily do that similarly, mm-hmm. and he probably would make more through his endorsements with Nike, exactly. and everything else. So it's honestly up to LeBron and if he's willing to do that. I mean, and we know he was willing to do that if Kawhi was going to come. So if Giannis is, you know, on board, I could see him doing it too because he knows what type of talent that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and could you imagine all of that talent for the Lakers? Just how much attraction that would bring to the Staples Center, all the celebrities that would show up. It would be such a great thing to happen. Let's move on to the NFL side of things. As we all know, the firing that we've all been waiting for has happened. Bill O'Brien has been officially fired from the Houston Texans after the 0-4 start. And I'm going to start out by saying it's been long overdue. He should have been fired after they blew the 24-0 lead to Kansas City. And, you know, he has put the Texans in a hellhole. I mean, you look at, they don't have their first round or second round pick this year because that's went to the Miami Dolphins because you traded for Laremy Tunsil, who has been okay. He hasn't been the best offensive lineman, but he's been okay. And he traded DeAndre Hopkins for a bag of chips. Like, who's asking to get fired after the season if he didn't make things work? And he didn't make things work. I mean, they're 0-4. They're in a terrible spot. I mean, just terrible spot. Like, they have no good receivers. They have banged up, washed up running backs. They're basically pieced together by Deshaun Watson. Even Deshaun Watson can't carry the team. So it's one of those where I might think the Houston Texans better get this head coach hiring correct. This offseason, they better get this head coach hiring correct, because if they don't, they're going to be in for a long time of missing playoff football. And I want to go to my co-host, Caleb Connett. What head coach do you believe the Houston Texans should hire after this season? Do you believe they should roll with the intern that they have right now, or do you believe they should go a different route?
To be honest, I believe they should roll with the intern that they have right now to finish this season. Usually the coach market in any sport, more specifically basketball and football, the coaching market expands during the off season. So I think that they should.
Well, no, but like during the off season as well.
What do you mean?
Well, like if the Houston Texans, they roll with their intern this season, but this off season,
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
What kind of approach?
With intern this season to finish out the season, because they can bring a coach in right now. But I think they roll with the intern, and then in the off season they find a new coach that could develop a new culture. That's what they're going to look for. So I think that they need to take as much time as they can to find the right coach for them, no matter if it's a college coach. I think that could be possibly pretty good. I don't know what direction they should go with the personnel that they do have. But I think they should take a lot of time and do whatever they can do to buy time to get a coach. What do you think, Caleb? Being that you're the college guy, do you think that they could do you think that they should get a coach out of college or not really?
Yeah, I'm just happy the Texans finally fired him. It took so long, I guess. I wonder if he had two meetings to get fired from both of his positions as a GM and head coach. But I'm just happy they went that route. But, I mean, so many questionable mistakes. You're paying Deshaun Watson all this money, but you're not paying for offensive line help or anywhere else. It's just – it was bound to, like, happen. I'm just glad that they finally did it. The interim's going to last the whole year, and then we're going to go ahead in the offseason. What I think they should do is I don't think Lincoln Riley's going to leave Oklahoma anytime soon. I mean, they would love to have him. Don't get me wrong. But I think they should go after somebody who's like a Matt Rhule, like Carolina went. Just a solid guy. You know he's going to be a good coach. He demands respect out of his players. He doesn't, you know, get in arguments. He says all the right things. He does all the right things. And that's where they should go. And I don't know if that's, you know, in the form of somebody that we really know right now as a head coach in college. It could be somebody that we don't see until, you know, towards the end of the season. I mean, if Tom Herman gets fired, maybe his name is tossed around from Texas, because I mean, his seat's hot. There's other people too that I mean I can't really think of anybody. I mean, Ryan Day would be a name that I would think would perhaps gauge some interest in terms of NFL teams looking at him. But again, I don't think he's going to leave Ohio State. So there's a lot that could happen. I just don't think there's a lot of guys out there right now that are like a Matt Rhule type that you can just be like, okay, we bring this guy in, he's going to get the job done. So, and you know, like Dabo's not leaving Clemson and Saban's not leaving Alabama to go back to the NFL. So
they could at least get a guy from Clemson, since that's where.
Right. I was thinking maybe Brent Venables would be, you know, a guy that you would look at, which is Clemson's defensive coordinator. But we've seen him not even, you know, flirt with schools about becoming a head coach for college. So it's weird dynamic over there. But that would be a great name, honestly, Caleb.
Yeah, definitely great points made. I think they go the route of Eric Bieniemy. I think Eric Bieniemy has fully earned his right to be a head coach in the NFL. I mean, I think if you put Eric Bieniemy on any of these teams that are slumping, he would have that better record. I think if you put Eric Bieniemy on the Jets, they would at least be 2-2, instead of 0-4. You put Eric Bieniemy on the Detroit Lions, they would have a better record. Even if you put Eric Bieniemy on the New York Giants, I think they would have at least a win, maybe two. But me personally, Eric Bieniemy, I think, is the guy. I think he has earned it, especially what he did in the Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs. And, I mean, we've seen Andy Reid assistants turn into great head coaches. I mean, we look at Doug Peterson in Philadelphia. He won a Super Bowl there in his second season with Philadelphia. We saw with what Matt Nagy has done so far, he won Coach of the Year his first year as a head coach in Chicago. I mean, last year obviously was a down year, but we know what Nagy and Doug Peterson can do. And, you know, you think of Eric Bieniemy and simply say maybe he can be that. The one thing that I hope the Texans don't do is hire a Bill Belichick disciple, because I think they learned their lesson with Bill O'Brien that Bill Belichick disciples are not good head coaches. Yeah. I mean, Josh McDaniels, his first in Denver was a disaster. Who knows? Maybe he learns from it. But we look at the rest of his disciples. Joe Judge doesn't really look good in New York. Matt Patricia looks like a disaster in Detroit. Brian Flores, I mean, he's on a good start, but they're rebuilding. And right now he's 1-3. So, I mean, it's kind of a toss-up in the air. And, you know, hopefully the Texans get this right, because if they don't, you know, like I stated beforehand, they're going to be in a long, long haul with Deshaun Watson that he won't be a winner anytime soon. Let's move on to I'm pretty sure you guys already heard about this. Marlon Humphrey's extension was 5 years, $98.5 million, making him one of the highest paid corners in the NFL. I'll start with you, Caleb Skinner. Do you believe Marlon Humphrey deserves his extension?
Yeah, I think he's done enough to be able to deserve it. Does he deserve the Jalen Ramsey money or the, you know, Gilly Locks money? Probably not. But I mean, that's why we see him, you know, being the fourth or fifth highest paid corner in the league. It's a great contract for him for the work he's done. I think it's very fair. He's probably right in that realm of, you know, cornerbacks. He needs help on the back end of that defense and by their safeties and everything. But honestly, I think it's well deserved. He's proven that. He's a young guy. So, I mean, he's got a couple years before you start thinking about, like, hey, is there going to be any fall off? But the way corners are built these days, they're starting to get paid a lot more. So they're becoming really big, you know, big time pieces to these defenses. If you can lock down somebody, that's a huge plus to the defensive side of the ball for a team. So you pay those guys right, they usually perform very well. So we're seeing how, you know, Gilly is playing right now with New England after he got paid. And same thing with Jalen Ramsey, both just playing out of their minds because they got paid to do what they're supposed to do. So that's where we're at. And I think it's a pretty good deal, not only for him, but I think he deserved it.
Mm-hmm. And then what about you, Caleb? How do you believe Marlon Humphrey deserved his contract extension?
Yes, sir. I mean, I think, you know, if you go back off what Caleb said again, he's like, corners are getting paid right now. They definitely are. So, you know, to see what he got is great. I think Jalen Ramsey already read up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, Jalen Ramsey is the best guy, the best corner in the league, I want to say, but Humphrey's a solid corner. They need to lock that up, especially being that they're in the same conference as Pat Mahomes. So, I think it was an amazing signing. It was a great signing. It was an amazing signing. They needed that.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you guys as well. I believe it was a great signing. And I believe even after he got his contract extension, like that week four game, he played amazing against the Washington football team. So overall, he's going to be a major stalwart on that defense. I feel like he has the potential to be their next Ed Reed of the future. And hopefully he'll help the Baltimore defense bring them a Super Bowl, whether it be this year or a couple years from now. And let's close out today's episode with week five. Obviously, as many of you guys know, my favorite NFL team is the Green Bay Packers, and we have a bye week. So I'm going to be looking forward to watching these NFL games in week five. And my co-host, Mr. Caleb Skinner, he's got a couple teams he likes. He loves the New Orleans Saints and Philadelphia Eagles. And for those of you viewers that are listening on the podcast, let's hear what.
Hold on. For my podcast, for everybody listening right now, he said Caleb Skinner likes the Saints. Caleb Cronin likes the Saints.
Yeah, there you go. I was just going to say.
Caleb Skinner likes. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's see what our special guest's favorite team is.
I'm a Bucks fan. Bears are my second favorite team, so you could tell by just the tone of my voice right now that that's not going very well. Yeah, I didn't have a good Thursday night after Tom Brady forgot it was fourth down and everything. So, is what it is. I think a lot of overreaction to a team being 3-2 right now. So, I mean, especially in a division where the teams aren't all that great. Sorry, Caleb. But the Bears are the Bears. I mean, it sucks because they both played each other. So, I mean, it is what it is. But it's unbelievable the Bears are 4-1. And I just don't understand how that's even possible. But, we can move on from my favorite teams.
that's perfectly fine. What games are you guys most looking forward to for this week five affair? As many people know, the Broncos-Pats game got moved to Monday night. So, once again, we'll have a doubleheader. And we will have our very first Tuesday game. The Buffalo Bills and Tennessee Titans are moved to Tuesday, October 13th. Definitely going to be an exciting matchup. I kind of want to hear with Caleb Connett, what is one game that you are most looking forward to watching this upcoming weekend, even tomorrow?
Good question. I'm actually most forward looking to watching my Saints game, to be honest. I do not want to sugarcoat and throw out a game that I'm really not looking forward to. I'm really looking forward to our Saints game. Like you've mentioned, I am a Saints fan. That is true. We're having a solid year right now, and I'm not really looking forward. I mean, of course I'm looking forward to watching the Saints, but of course. But I'm really looking forward to watching Herbert play and see how he puts up against the Saints, being that he's playing another veteran quarterback this week in Drew Brees. I want to see how he's going to put up. He's starting on my fantasy team, so I hope he throws up a lot of good numbers for me. But no, I'm really looking forward to that Saints game. I'm looking forward to seeing how Herbert controls and runs the Chargers. He's been having some good games with them, and he's proven himself to be an amazing quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely has. Let's go to Caleb Skinner. Obviously, your Bucks lost on Thursday, but what game are you most looking forward to this upcoming Sunday, Monday, and even Tuesday?
Yeah, well, I picked there's two games that caught my eye at the bat, and Caleb already mentioned my first one, and that's his Saints playing against, you know, the young gunslinger there in Herbert in the Los Angeles Chargers. So that's going to be really fun to watch. Saints secondary isn't all that great. They've played better this year than they have in the past. But, I mean, it's pretty much like the Bucs secondary. You can abuse them through the air, and that's what Herbert is probably going to do. It's going to be a great QB matchup. You got the vet in Breeze versus the young guy in Herbert. Chargers are a better football team than the record says. I think the Saints are still a better football team than the record says as well. So it'll be a good one. But another one that I'm interested in that should be a real, you know, duke it out game, and that's going to be the Colts-Browns at the 4 o'clock window there tomorrow. And both 3-1 teams in Cleveland. So I don't really buy into either of these teams, honestly. I don't know Philip Rivers. I've never believed in Philip Rivers. But it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a, you know, grind it out type of game. Which defense can get a stop, you know, at the end of the game to, you know, ultimately win it. So I think that'll probably be the one that I'm looking forward to most outside of that Monday night game between Caleb Saints and the Los Angeles Chargers.
I am going to go with the very first Tuesday game. I am going to go with the Buffalo Bills and the Tennessee Titans. Both teams undefeated at 3. Buffalo, I believe, is 4-0. The Tennessee Titans are 3-0. And I'm just excited to see how it's going to be played on Tuesday. And obviously, as we know, week 6 as scheduled is Chiefs-Bills Thursday night football. I do believe that'll be rescheduled to one of the Sunday matchups. But if they keep it at that Thursday game, it'll be interesting to see how Buffalo's going to play this out. Are they going to go hard on Tuesday, or are they just going to rest on Tuesday and get prepared for a Thursday game? But I think it's going to be an exciting matchup because both these teams are unbeaten. It's in Tennessee, and all is well, and all is going to be good so far. And, you know, it's going to be a great game. Two unbeaten teams. Josh Allen is looking good, etching his name in the MVP race with Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. And Tennessee, surprising a lot of people, still being unbeaten at the moment. And that, my friends, concludes episode 21 of the MCS Real Sports Podcast. Once again, I love to thank Mr. Caleb Skinner for being a part of this episode, being a very good special guest. And, you know, I would love to have you on and more episodes. It was a great stream. And also my co-host Caleb, do you have anything else to add?
You already know, bro. You catch me on Instagram at one Caleb Koenig. Catch me on Twitter, Caleb Koenig 2. Follow USN. Glad to have you on, Caleb. You're more than welcome to come on again. It was a great episode. Super excited for it. And you know how MCS World Sports Podcast, baby. That's it.
Yeah, let's go. And our special guest, Caleb, do you want to shout anything out, anywhere to follow and stuff?
Yeah, dude. Just a huge shout out to the Sports Network for bringing all of us together, man. I enjoyed this podcast very much. The stream was awesome. I want to thank you guys, especially for bringing me on. I had a great time. I'm looking forward to coming on in the future too. I know my schedule's hectic and everything, but definitely looking forward to it. Definitely going to come back on. Great talks with you guys and very knowledgeable information. Shout out on
Yeah, sorry, you cut out on like the final seconds. Could you repeat that for the listeners?
I was just saying a huge shout out to Unwrapped Sports for bringing us together, because we wouldn't be here, you know, being able to do this with us three here without them. And you know, just a huge shout out for the way that we're growing right now, and it's just unbelievable the amount of effort and everything that all of us are putting in, and I'm looking forward to joining you guys in the future real soon.
Yeah, I am definitely looking forward to it as well. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode. We out.
Out of here.
See ya.